opinions and comments expressed by the host, guests, and callers of this show are not necessarily those of this station, its parent company, TeleSouth Communications, its staff, management, or advertisers. Content of this broadcast cannot be duplicated or used in any way without the express written consent of TeleSouth Communications Incorporated, Mississippi Politics.
I'm against raising anybody's taxes.
Your money.
You better start mixing toothpaste with your shampoo. You're getting a cavity in your brain.
Information and news that you need. On Deadline with Sid Salter. Get in on the game. Call now. 888-808-8637. That's 888-808-8637. Or star 222 on your cellular cell phone.
Good things are going on.
Welcome back to the Thursday edition of On Deadline with Sid Salter on Super Talk Mississippi. We'll update you on developments in the Gulf with the oil spill. Reports coming out of the New York Times and other sources now that they are encountering some problems on the top kill. We'll try to get additional information for you after the next break. In this segment, we want to welcome to the program Chris Liebig, a criminal defense attorney and author who believes that the Arizona immigration laws is going to cause more problems than it solves. Specifically, as a criminal defense attorney and racial profiling expert, Chris Liebig believes the law is leading to additional crime and guarantees that immigrants will be hassled about their status when reporting crimes or about times that they should show up in court. Chris, you're talking to an audience that, by and large, has some sympathy for the people of Arizona about the plight of illegal immigration in that state. Mississippi is one of those states. There are already 17, 18 out there where similar laws have been introduced. The only reason we don't have one introduced in Mississippi right now is because the legislature is just simply not in session. What holes do you see in the law, and why do you think this law is more problematic than Governor Jan Brewer does?
Well, thanks for having me, Sid. And first of all, I sympathize with anybody who says that illegal immigration is a problem. Here's the problems with the law, as simply put as I can. One, I want to point out they have improved the law since the first version. Now, according to the legalistic words in the law, they cannot make the inquiry of an alleged immigrant unless the person is detained for something else. Before, the law applied to witnesses to crimes, to victims to crimes, and so forth. So they have eliminated that problem on paper. The problem about this law, Sid, is that it provides that police departments can be sued by any citizen for not enforcing it. And you know that will result in lawsuits. And I think the police chiefs that were in D.C. yesterday have it hit the nail right on the head. Their job is stopping violent crime and protecting the safety of these communities primarily. And most of these illegal immigrants live in the neighborhoods, aren't afraid of the police, and are people that are just working and then, you know, are law-abiding. So the problem is you're scaring them to death, and now they think they have to be afraid of the police car when they see it, instead of happy to see the police car. Because, you know, the criminals who are in the illegal immigrant community, you know who they victimize mostly? The other illegal immigrants. And so these police chiefs are trying to control crime. And yeah, it's a big problem, but really, Sid, this law is politicians trying to make a political point instead of looking at the situation on the ground. And that's what I would say.
Well, Chris, the situation on the ground for the average Arizona taxpayer is that he's paying more for public health care, more for public education, more for a plethora of state services that are being provided not just to citizens of Arizona, but to people who are there illegally. And so they don't draw as broad a distinction between criminals and illegal immigrants as you perhaps are drawing at this point. At what point is that illegal immigrant a criminal because he came into this country illegally?
Very good point. Illegal entry is a crime. It's a felony. And anybody who illegally entered is in the status of having committed a crime. I agree with you there. The problem is, and I realize this is hard to apply practically or for people to agree with sometimes, but the thing is, the problem is so big that you can't attack it just by rounding people up. I mean, the federal government doesn't even have the resources to detain or deport the people that are going to be rounded up and dropped at the federal facility. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Behind all of this, and I think you can see this in the rhetoric, behind all of this is that in Arizona they're trying to make a political shot, which they have. And you saw that the president's now sending some troops to the border. The political point they are making may be a good one, which is help us, but the actual law itself will never work, is only going to cause problems. So, you know, it's a tough situation, but I think what you're seeing, it's politics at its best. But the idea that the actual law is good, it's not logical in my view.
Well, at some point, the only solution then, if you adopt your position on this, Chris, would seem to be that we arrive at an amnesty, whatever, I mean, you can call it whatever you want to, but eventually it's amnesty. Essentially, we're going to wave a magic wand and say that some portion of the 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 million illegal immigrants who are in this country now, it's kind of citizenship fairies going to wave a wand over this group of people, and they're suddenly going to become legal. At that point, you still are dealing with one of the same problems that you had to begin with, is that we are becoming a country to which Mexico exports their social services. You know, I understand Felipe Calderon coming to the White House lawn and wagging his finger at the citizens of the United States because they're looking at $26 billion a year in remittances sent back to Mexico from workers in this country, and they're exporting their social service costs to the taxpayers of the United States. I understand why Felipe Calderon, the president of Mexico, wants the current system to continue. But when you're dealing with states like Arizona actually put their state office buildings up for sale for a brief time this year because their budget was in such terrible shape. And part of the reason it is because they have such a large illegal immigrant population calling on that state for social services. And, of course, because we're in the United States, we don't deny those services to people. And it's a situation where you're, Chris, with all due respect, you're advocating essentially the United States of America shrugging its shoulders and saying, well, I guess everybody stays. I don't think that's logical.
You know, I heard all good points, and it's a big problem. But, you know, you mentioned amnesty, and I suppose in the end, anybody making my position, if they're being honest, has to say, and I will say now, that some form of amnesty is the only practical way out of it. I heard somebody say something really interesting calling into a show the other day up in D.C., which was the guy just called in and said, hey, look, if we have to have amnesty, why not predicate it on some kind of national service, like, for example, the military or some other form of national service? You can put limits on it. You know, you could say the person would have to show, you know, no criminal contacts, been in the country for X number of years, so forth. And yes, it's unfair, but the government does a lot of things, Sid, that are unfair to lots of different groups, citizens, non-citizens alike. So, you know, at some point, just a practical matter, if you do allow some amnesty, you get to tax the remittances. You start recouping some of that. And actually, this, some people might call it, you know, this under-economy of the illegal immigrants that do work. This is a big, big part of the economy. We could rake that money in, too. So there's something to be said for it. Now, I agree with anybody that comes along and says, that's just not fair because they broke the law, and I hear you. But I'm just admitting it because anybody taking my position should admit it. That's where that position's heading.
Well, let's speak to one of the things that you have particular expertise in, this notion of profiling. If a law enforcement officer, in the normal conduct of his duty, comes across a Hispanic in Arizona, and there is a probable cause to suspect that this individual might not be a citizen, I mean, is it possible to escape a certain amount of profiling? And if you're looking for illegal immigrants in Arizona, is it profiling for a law enforcement officer to say, you know, maybe I should check these papers, because let me tell you something. If that law enforcement officer was 100 miles south of the Arizona border, he would be subject to the same type of request for papers from Mexican officials who have an even more strident immigration law than is being proposed for Arizona.
Yeah, I agree with that. And here's the thing. You cannot eliminate any racial profiling from the inquiry, and some kind of racial profiling is in fact reasonable. I'll give you an example in a different context. Because, let's say in the terrorism context, because the number of the people who are known to have attempted terrorism in the United States, Islamic terrorism, are all universally of a certain age group and come from a certain part of the world, therefore, when police are viewing, let's say, people leaving an airport, there, of course they shouldn't be stopping people that merely meet that profile, but of course, logically, they're going to be looking at people that meet that profile. It's part of it, but there just needs to be attention paid to not overdoing it. Now, in Arizona, of course, they're not looking for Polish immigrants. Everybody knows they're going to be talking to people that appear to be Mexican in origin. You know, the biggest problem I have on the racial profiling end there is how in the world and where is the standard for telling that one Mexican-looking person might be illegal versus another? Is it that they're sitting in front of the convenience store looking for work? Is it that they are dressed badly? Yeah, I just don't know. Because then you get into it's just a police officer's individual random decision. Okay, I'm out today looking for immigrants. How about this guy? I'd like to hear how you can get around that.
Well, I guess it's would be somewhat the same thing as if cops were looking for a bank robber on a hot summer day and they were patrolling and saw a guy with a ski mask on. That might be the top guy on their list.
That's a great point. But so, you know, you catch a guy, I don't know what the corollary of that would be, who just ran across the border, but let's say he's soaking wet and standing 50 feet from the fence. I mean, maybe that would be something, but these people aren't wearing ski masks, so okay. That's just like everybody else.
All right. We're talking with Chris Liebig. He's a criminal defense attorney and author. We're talking about Arizona's immigration law. And Chris is up front. He says that he believes the Arizona immigration law is leading to additional crime and guarantees that immigrants will be hassled about their status when reporting crimes or when they show up for court. Chris, let me just kind of cut to the chase here with you. Let's assume that your position prevails and that eventually we go down the path of some type of magic wand citizenship for the illegal immigrants who are in the country now. The next day, after we've suddenly tapped all these folks on the head and said, all right, you're American citizens through some form of amnesty, what do we do the next day to ensure that we don't get another 12 to 15 million illegal immigrants coming over the next decade?
Well, for one, you got to publicize it. This is a one-shot deal, and I know that you're going to think that, well, yeah, but who's going to believe that? We'll just do the same thing in another 10 years. You're probably going to be surprised to hear me say this, but what I think should accompany that is dramatically more enforcement, and many people that take my position disagree with the border fence idea. I don't. I do think it doesn't do all that much, but anything to prevent the flow, with these people now knowing, I mean, they're not going to believe there's any hope for citizenship. I think it's a dual approach. Of course, people will continue to come. It's all about PR in a way. The PR on this has to be, look, this is a one-shot deal. It only applies to certain people. It's not going to be every single person that's here illegally. It's going to be people that have been here a certain amount of time, no criminal contacts with the system, but perhaps some kind of a demonstrated earning history, this sort of thing. There can be rules to it. But if you do it, at least it will rake in some revenue. You know, it's a big economy, and it's under economy, and so that's why I'm saying. But, you know, again, it's got problems. As it is right now, it has problems. My main point here is the Arizona law does nothing. It only hurts, and it's really, I think the people that wrote it know this. They wrote it as a political shot at D.C., and in that respect, it kind of worked. But well, as a real law, it's not worth anything.
Well, is that shot, in your estimation, And you and I don't agree on this question. We don't agree on much at all on this, but I do see one possible benefit coming out of this is that you're going to see enough states pass this type legislation that it could rise to the level of coming to a constitutional amendment. And that, you know, for folks on your side of this argument, that is sort of a nightmare scenario. But I do think you're going to see, whether they do it for pure reasons or politically craven reasons, you're going to see 35, 36, 38 states come out with similar legislation. And at that point, there is a little steam possible to try to go, I think that's a long shot as well, but to try to go the constitutional amendment route. But we're talking about a situation, and this is where the whole thing falls apart for me. We are talking about a law that at its core seeks to have the Arizona law enforcement officials enforce the existing federal law. And what we are doing now is we're not just winking and nudging at existing federal law. We are pretending that it is invisible, that the law doesn't exist. If we don't look at it, it doesn't exist. And, you know, I really don't see that, you know, going toward where you're talking about. And I do appreciate you being honest enough to admit that at the end of the day, we're talking about amnesty here. Even if you get amnesty, Chris, you haven't solved the problem of illegal immigration. You haven't made the borders more secure, and we're still essentially a revolving door for folks coming here. And I don't blame you or others who have constitutional concerns about this. I put the blame right where it belongs. If there were not jobs here for those immigrants, they would not come. And until we're willing to deal with the country's addiction to cheap labor, this problem will continue to exist.
I got two quick points, Sid. One, you're the first person I've heard mention the constitutional amendment idea, and that is very interesting, and you're right, people would be scared of it. Most amendments have to do with preventing the government from using power, not forcing the government to use a power, but of course there's nothing barring it could happen. Another thing I think that I want to mention is that this issue, the reason it's so tough across the board, is it's the kind of issue that anyone who looks at it in the big picture is automatically, it should be, including me, angry. Why are these people are coming here? They're milking off our resources, no doubt. Then the second you look at the small picture, you see who most of these people actually are. And it's frankly, as a personal matter, as a moral matter, it's hard to disrespect them. Most of them are people that went through a huge ordeal to get here that just want to earn money and send it back, you know? And therefore, on an individual level, the law enforcement officers on the street, the people at the court, the people that deal with these populations, it's hard to drum up a whole lot of anger at the individuals.
I live in a town that's about 20% Hispanic, a poultry industry town. I stand beside folks that are coming to this country from Mexico to work, and I don't have any anger at them. I have an anger at a system that is broken and will continue to be broken for some time. Chris, a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Sid.
You're listening to On Deadline with Sid Salter on Super Talk Mississippi. You got to admire a lawyer who'll go through life with the name Chris Liebig, a criminal defense attorney. I mean, how much grief is this guy catching off that? But he was at least honest enough to say he was advocating amnesty, and that you rarely get. We got to go to break. You're listening to Super Talk. We'll be right back.